Democrats met on the debate stage last night in Houston. The focus was on Joe Biden, center stage, surrounded by ideological opponents Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. The candidates fought over health care, Biden's legacy, but they were also united, especially in their attacks against President Trump. Here is Kamala Harris addressing the president directly in her opening statement.
You've spent the last 2.5 years full time trying to sow hate and division among us. And that is why we've got nothing done. You have used hate, intimidation, fear, and over 12,000 lies as a way to distract from your failed policies and your broken promises.
For more on the debate, we're joined by Democratic strategist Jamal Simmons. Jamal, let's start with the big question. I saw you were tweeting last night. No extreme compliments, but some Twitter analysis. But let's take it into the real world. Who do you think came out on top in this debate?
So I think who came out on top in this debate was probably, I don't know, the Democratic Party. Not in particular.
I don't know. Thank you for that deep analysis, Jamal.
How's that? Because I wouldn't characterize it that way. I think there were kind of nobody failed completely. Uh-huh. I don't think anybody kind of hit the ball out of the park. People had some troubling moments. I mean, I think, listen, Joe Biden had some pretty tough moments last night that he's going to spend some time having to explain. Castro, while he's being beaten up for beating up on Biden, I think Julian Castro has proven himself to be a pretty tough fighter in a way that nobody really expected him to be.
With Joe Biden, it always seems to be race that is problematic for him. Talk us through that last night, and what did you see?
Well, you know, he was asked a question about a 40-year-old statement that he made that he doesn't think he owes the black man a head start. You know, he has never really explained that statement. It's a longer statement than what I just read, but he never really explained that statement. And last night he went into some explanation about it that really rambled through a whole series of things, including trying to put social workers in African-American households and making kids listen to record players, not even CDs, but record players in order to get their words up, and ended with something about Venezuelan children. It was a really weird moment. You know, that came late in the debate. It was late at night and late in the debate. And I don't, you know, I think it's the questions Castro raised in the beginning about Vice President Biden's forgetfulness or stamina or something were not put to rest by the vice president's performance.
Let's talk about something that all the candidates appeared to be doing, which was sharing their personal stories. So Elizabeth Warren spoke a couple of times about how she always wanted to be a teacher for most of her life. She dropped out of school at 19. She thought her dream was over until she got a scholarship. Then she got a job as a special needs teacher.
But at the end of that first year, I was visibly pregnant. And back in the day, that meant that the principal said to me, wished me luck, and hired someone else for the job. So there I am. I'm at home. I got a baby. I can't have a job. What am I going to do? Here's resilience. I said, I'll go to law school.
How's the storytelling playing for you, Jamal?
Her storytelling has gotten to be so much better. When I first started hearing Elizabeth Warren a year or two ago, I thought that she was kind of didactic and professorial. And it feels like she's really come into her own, and she's much more running, I think, as a, you know, woman from Oklahoma who went to school in Texas than she is as a Harvard professor. And if I've got my count right, she may be one of the only three or four candidates that's running who did not go to an Ivy League school, which I think is also maybe giving her some part of a touch. Bernie Sanders is the other one who kind of fits that mold. You know, he went to Brooklyn College. And I think that is really, for the two of them, they seem to be in touch with the yearning aspiration of an entire generation of Americans who feel a lot of pain right now. I just had an Uber driver who was talking about being evicted just a few minutes ago. Americans are really feeling pain. And I think it's not just about going back to some normal that that existed before Donald Trump. I think Americans are looking to go back to some new normal where everybody has a shot to succeed
again. Right. Andrew Yang didn't get as much time as some of the other candidates on the stage, but he used some of it to tell his story, too. Have a listen.
My father grew up on a peanut farm in Asia with no floor, and now his son is running for president. That is the immigration story that we have to be able to share with the American people.
Jamal, is it just me? He seems to be so much stronger now in the debate stage than he was in debate number one.
He is stronger. Listen, the Yang Gang, as they call themselves online, they are strong, too. I'm on Hill TV, and we get a lot of comments from folks who really like Andrew Yang. And last night, you know, he had an idea about giving $1,000 and money to some of the supporters out there so that they can spend that money on the causes they think are important. You know, I'm not sure if that is legal, but it certainly is a very, it's a compelling and big idea that disrupts the status quo.
And Jamal, just to wrap up here very briefly, as a Democratic strategist, what was the moment on the stage last night that made you smile?
That made me smile. Listen, I think when I went to Morehouse College, which is a historically black college, and when Kamala Harris began talking about being a girl from an HBCU, that made me smile because here we have an HBCU graduate, the very first one I can think of who was a major candidate for president, and we were having a debate at a historically black college. And I think it's helpful to remember when everyone was really celebrating Barack Obama last night, they were doing that in front of a mostly audience full of people of color.
We can feel you smiling right now. Democratic strategist Jamal Simmons, thank you.
Thank you.